this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back for another episode of Y'allitics. We're at Cafe 544.
The 544 Cafe, Wheeler. And you should have paid attention on the way in, but you were a few minutes late.
Is there a quiz here? That. Oh, actually, I think I walked in the door before you did.
We arrived at the same time.
We were both late.
At the same time, and he comes running to the door. I'm like, really, dude?
So I did, because it doesn't happen often. And a big shout out to Google Maps for not getting me to this location as it said it would.
So welcome to Wally Guys.
I hope Google's not sponsoring this episode as well.
If they were, they're not now.
We're with Dr. David Vinson from Wiley ISD, the superintendent. And we're not in a classroom. Well, I think this may be a classroom, but you hear the bell going.
Is this the bell?
This is the bell. You know, we're the pirates. And so that's what happens. So
can you hear this?
You're late. Yes.
Got like some seagulls.
That's
or
exactly right.
Well,
that's
we were late, so we deserved
that. We're not on time.
So why is it called 544 Cafe?
We're on Highway 544.
Okay.
It used to be the Pirate Cove.
See, it's not Google Maps, it's Wheeler.
That's
the problem here.
I think Google Maps may have had that part wrong, too.
Fellas, it's hard to get here. I have trouble myself. No, it's 544. We built this in Wiley, we ask every child as an eighth grader to declare a high school major.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so many of them chose culinary arts.
Hmm.
And so when we build something in Wiley, we want it to be industry standard so they can take what they learn and they use it in the real world. We call it college with a small C.
Hmm.
We've blown up programs in culinary arts. Yeah. This was actually helped design by Collin College, because all the standards and processes and systems are done, so you can get your associate's degree here, or you can go to Collin College and finish that out.
Really?
Wow. Absolutely.
And for people who can't see all the way around here, this is a full-blown cafe. There are booths over here.
There's a pizza oven over there.
Yeah.
We'll cook something.
What are we having
you
today?
I mean, anything that you want. Flatbread pizza. We can cook anything. And the cool part about it is they also do catering. They do all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
And our kids see this and they think it's all Bobby Flay, and they sometimes go, maybe I don't want to do this because it's a lot of hard work. Yeah. But the deal is they get to experience it in high school, so that they go to college and maybe they don't want to do that.
Yeah. Does this help too? I mean, you know, when you pick a major in high school, I mean, I didn't do that. Does it help to get kids on the track a little bit better, a little bit faster? You have so many kids who leave school and they're like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? I don't really know what I want to do.
Excellent question. And I'll say this. We started this, I've been here 14 years. 50% of our kids went to college when I got here. Hmm. 81% go now.
Wow.
And not only that, we have an 85% persistence rate, which means they go from the first year, they actually make it to the second year of college. And that college, again, it doesn't necessarily mean a four-year degree going to Texas Tech or Texas A&M or wherever it's going to go. It's that you can go and get your welding certification from Tulsa School of Welding or here in Collin College, and you can actually do it here. But we look at the industry. So, for example, we're in this tech corridor.
Mm-hmm.
So when we started this, we said, industry, what do y'all need? They said, we need a lot more engineers. So we started out with like 45 kids in engineering. We have like 900 kids in engineering now.
Wow. Really? You say tech corridor. I mean, Texas Instruments is not far from here.
No, Raytheon.
Raytheon is all 380.
Yeah, and it's just a real blessing. We have parents that want to support it.
Yeah.
And, you know, this experience, I eat lunch in the cafeterias and talk to the kids. And I was in the cafeteria a couple of years ago, and I said, what's your major? Education. Because our kids actually go to schools and teach while they're doing it.
Wow.
And I said, do you love it? Because I hate it. Well, that's, superintendent.
Honest though, right?
But she goes, why did you choose that? My mom's a teacher. And she would have went to college and done this and wasted 2 years.
Great point.
Yeah, and so I said, so what? She goes, well, I just don't like kids. I just realized this. And so, great. And then she switched to nursing. Watch, we have, 1,100 kids in health sciences.
Wow.
And she wants to serve people, but she figured that out in high school.
That's brilliant. You know, sometimes it's better to figure out what you don't want than to figure out what you do want, you know. Yeah.
What'd you major in, Wheeler?
I majored in radio, television, communications.
How's that working out for you? How's
that
working out?
That's still a big question mark.
I think it's good.
Dr. Vinson, congratulations on all the successes you've had here over the years.
This is David Vinson, the superintendent of Wiley Schools. We never introduced him.
We introduced him a moment ago, but you were chatting on it, I think.
That's correct.
You must have done it. I wasn't listening.
But we're talking about your new efforts now to change a 30-year-old law called the Safe Schools Act. And part of this law is called Chapter 37. So we're going to get into the weeds a little bit on this, but I think a lot of people can relate to it because either you were acting up in high school like Wheeler was, or your parents of kids in high school or going into high school, and you want to make sure the kids act right. And that's one of the issues you guys have here. It's not just a Wiley-specific issue. There are superintendents and districts all across the state to say, listen, legislature, we need a little more leeway on how we discipline kids.
Absolutely.
Explain that, because I thought it was already you guys could decide what to do.
Well, you know, the last legislative session, they had the Parents' Bill of Rights and Responsibilities, you know, and it was and there was 8 pages of rights. There was one responsibility, and that responsibility was to make sure that your name was correct in the student database.
That's it.
That was it. And so I went back and looked at that, and I go to every campus every week, you know, visiting, seeing things, and our teachers, our principals, our entire staff, I found we're spending a great deal of time on a very few number of students in persistent misbehavior. Mm-hmm. And Chapter 37, the school discipline bill, has grown from about 7 pages in its origin to 140 pages now.
Mm. And This is law right now.
And nothing, it was ill-intended. Yeah. Every legislator, I believe, brought it to the table and said, this is going to help and provide constraints or guardrails, but it needs to be streamlined.
Tell us what you mean. What needs to happen? What do you want lawmakers to do so you can get a hold of this?
Well, the first thing is local control. We have school boards, and we want them to be able to make logical decisions. What's best in Wiley might be different than Cy-Fair. Mm-hmm. And we want to have that authority and that ability to navigate those waters. So it's really crazy when we do all that it's actually kind of segmented itself out where, you know, the Texas Education Agency, it's not even a law, but they've deemed it, that's their perception of it, is 3 days of ISS, no matter what.
In-school suspension.
In-school suspension.
You knew that. We don't know. You're the one who labeled it right away.
You know what?
No judgment.
I spent a day or two there, but go ahead.
So that's the local, we want the ability, because if it had a pretty egregious situation, that we ought to be able to have more days of that, to navigate that, to help define that.
And the state says 3 days is the best you can do.
And no matter what you've done, that doesn't matter. I mean, that's what's up.
You're saying local control. I want to be able to decide that.
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, we're not trying to be egregious with it, but you know, when you have if it's chewing gum or it's, you know, I mean, a very serious bodily injury.
Yeah.
Same discipline, and I mean, that doesn't make sense when we can't make sense of those. So that's the thing, is that we want that flexibility. And the other thing is that persistent misbehavior. You know, we can't expel children. When we do that, that's the old days when you just acted up, you got expelled. Well, we expelled them to JJAEP, the Juvenile Justice Alternative Education Program, which is ran by a county, and really egregious behaviors go that way. So, you know, sometimes those measures don't meet that mark, and so we want to say, you know, we're really good at online learning. We got good at that in COVID. You don't get school funding for online learning. Mm-hmm. We would like to provide a virtual option, so if a kid is persistently misbehaved, they can have out-of-school suspension that they're going to learn at home for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things that make common sense and help people.
And the state says you can't do that right now.
No.
And you don't get funding for these kids when they go off-site then?
No.
Okay. So you've got a double whammy then. You're trying to deal with a discipline problem that's not getting fixed, and on top of that, you're not getting funding for that student, even though you're pouring resources into trying to fix it.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's become...
Time to get class with it. Hurry up.
You're on time now. There too. But I mean, the deal is, as far as all that stuff goes, you know, the law has been morphed into the parents have no responsibilities in many of these situations, and we have all of the obligation. And we want to share that responsibility.
So you're looking for flexibility here. You're looking for local control here. I know that one of the other big things that you all are pushing for is sort of the center of all of this, which is a safer classroom.
Yes.
Because in some situations, it's getting out of control.
It's way out of control. And here's the deal. We spent last legislative session making schools safe on the outside. And what we're going to try to do is provide some common sense legislation to make schools safer on the inside. There are students in our care that are hyper aggressive and have severe behavioral issues. And, you know, an assistant principal in Corsicana had her eye put out
Yep.
In one of the in a classroom the other day.
It's a chair thrown.
Yeah, chair thrown. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I'll go here. I've had an assistant principal the other day walked in, both black eyes. It's an elementary kid, the head butts you, and you have no other recourse. You know, you have certain things that you can do if you're in law enforcement. If they were in a hospital, you could restrain them to a bed in that situation. In public education, you're just basically waiting to get them tired out because you have no ability. And then oftentimes we have to call law enforcement because the behaviors are so out of control.
And this was an elementary school student, though,
yes,
that gave the assistant principal two black eyes.
Yeah.
So what happened in that case? Just lay it out for viewers and listeners. What did you guys, how did you handle that? And how would you like to have handled that?
Well, here's the thing. We have behavioral units in our buildings. And by law, to get a free and appropriate public education, we're going to try to provide that baby the best care that we can within the framework of their least restrictive environment. Most of the time, it can be done in their classroom. But here's the thing, y'all. It can't be always done that way. And they had more therapeutic care. This kid actually, this kid might gonna elevate itself. So we have to provide them residential treatment. That costs. Well, let me say this. We had 12 kids in residential treatment last year because behaviors after COVID have become more severe. $1.5 million.
Twelve children.
What does that mean, residential or?
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's day placement. When we actually take a bus and we send them to this therapeutic care center, which is a very wonderful place, and they get this therapeutic care that will help them to get their behaviors to the point where they can be prepared to learn in a classroom.
So the district paid more than $100,000 a kid for that, and you get what the basic allotment's what, $6,000-$7,000?
Yeah, and it's crazy, and you know, part of me feels guilty because I feel like I haven't tried to mention this before and do these kind of things, but this, you know, I just walk through these classrooms and I worry about our teachers and our principals, and you know, standards are drastically increasing in certain student performance. And our teachers and our principals are spending less time teaching and more time managing these behaviors of, you know, not so many students, you know, and we need help with that.
I want to know this. Okay, that doesn't sound sustainable then to
it's
have
not.
12 students costing you more than $1 million to set aside and get help for them. And, you know, thank God they're getting the help. Sure, they need the help, it sounds like. But this comes out of your budget. That's not sustainable. I mean, how do you make that work? Because you don't go into budget years, I'm assuming, thinking we're going to set aside this much money for this. So what has to go?
Well, I mean, the deal is that we're in a deficit budget now, to be honest with you. And, you know, we increase classroom sizes. We do. And we sharpen the pencil on different things like field trips and all these kind of things. And, you know, the special education budgets as it relates to, you know, we used to have about 9% of our kids are special education. It's 18% now.
In Why Wiley. Is that?
Well, there's two things. Number one, the legislature last session made dyslexia under special education. That doubles our work to do all that stuff. You know, we have an incredible dyslexia program here. So we're taking care of that. But then the other thing is behaviors are just increasing, y'all. I mean, it's just more kids are having bigger issues and the complexity of how to handle it and work with it. It's something that we have to face. And I think everybody's worried. I think that there's some positive things that we can do if we can get in front of it.
Is this just society? Is this the family? What is this? Why are we seeing this more?
You know, I wish I knew. It's one of those things where you think, you know, maybe society feels a little bit different. Post-COVID has been a little bit different animal, right?
Yeah.
And people are trying to address these issues, and whatever issue might have been a little bit more marginal is a little bit more pronounced now. And we're trying to understand it, trying to fix it. And here's the deal, y'all. If you can get a kiddo before third grade, they have about an 80% chance of having a completely normal life as an adult. If you wait till they're in adolescence, it drastically, 25% or so. And
so really
early intervention
resources.
Matters.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about it. You know, we had a reading academy a couple of sessions ago because we wanted to make our teachers more prepared for reading. So why don't we look at this from the same perspective? Because classroom management, here's the deal. Half of our teachers in our coalition of about 45 schools had to clear their classrooms because of a student misbehaving. And so what is if a kid's drastically misbehaving, the rule is you take all other 21 kids out of the classroom until they can get that behavior under control.
Wow. I never remember that from school. And I was one of these kids who acted up, you know, early on. I was never like, you know, violent or aggressive or any of that.
Yeah. You saved that for later.
Yeah, I waited for adulthood. Yeah. But, you know, I don't ever remember the whole classroom leaving. I remember being told to leave the classroom.
Yes.
I don't remember the whole classroom leaving
because of me. Well, I mean, but the thing is that all of these Chapter 37 rules and processes and procedures have put standards in and guardrails that seem good in principle, but in practice just don't make logical sense.
So that's one of the things in the guide.
Absolutely.
You got to take all the kids out of the classroom and leave the problem child there.
Yes.
Okay.
Dr. Vincent, let me go back and kind of press on something Jason asked a moment ago. Wiley ISD spent $1.5 million last year on 12 problem students, for better or worse here. That money's not budgeted. What did you cut field trips?
We're going into fund balance. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, and
you going into the red on these kids?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, not even to those 12 children, we're going to add 20 teachers next year. We'll also add about 15 special education teachers, diagnosticians, and the like. Our special education budget as it relates to behaviors and to doubles. You know, however many new teachers we're adding just because of the growth, we're adding that many teachers, special education teachers, because many of these children need one-on-one services, guys, and we're there to provide it. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to minimize that. We want to help these children.
Sure.
But I mean, it's just, we need to have a better, more comprehensive process to address
this. So before we talk about what you want lawmakers to really get into and get into, you know, what's happening in Austin, you also want parents to step up here as well. You kind
Absolutely.
Of mentioned that. What do you want parents to do?
Well, you know, the deal is this. In this current situation, 37 really gives parents a complete right. Mm-hmm. Well, we think that they have shared responsibilities with that.
Mm-hmm. So, how so?
Here's the number one thing is we think that if persistent misbehavior, you're going to go home and you're going to learn until you can learn how to behave and come back and you're going to take responsibility. We can teach you online. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that as it relates to it, you know, we want to strengthen programs for truancy because, you know, school's optional now. Our attendance rates are drastically lower after COVID than they were before, drastically. And then the third thing is to take those provisions as far as what we do for truancy and add that on to discipline so you could actually have to pay a fine.
As a parent
for misbehavior because, you know, teachers are, and our office staff and our bus drivers, the vast majority of our parents are amazing. But getting cursed out and getting chewed up and spit out and, you know, teaching is getting tougher. And we need for those parents to have some skin in the game as it relates to what they're doing.
I will say that when I was disruptive as a student, it was the home discipline that straightened it out. I got disciplined in school too back in the days when they did still use corporal punishment. Yes.
Can you imagine if your parents had to pay fines though every time
because we wouldn't have gotten to that point, not with my mom. But I mean, that's what straightened it out was the home stuff. But yes. I know educators, I know people who are in public education and they say we contact the parents and the parents go nuts. Like the parents give it to us even more than the kid did.
And so that thing is, but they do it because there's no recourse for that parent. They can act exactly like they want to act, and it's time for a change. And, you know, if I love my teachers, and I do, if I love all my babies here, from kindergarten to 12th grade, I've got to act on their behalf, equal to what we're doing as far as these kids and these parents that are misbehaving.
Because they're losing out. When you get right down to it, if you've got a classroom with 22 kids, and 21 of them have to be evacuated over and over again because so-and-so is acting up again, those 21 are losing out.
Absolutely. And you got to think, how long did it take before they got to this level until they started going out elevating that behavior?
Yeah.
So it's significant.
So there's a movement on this. There's the Student Behavior Management Coalition.
Yes.
That's kind of pushing the envelope on this. You guys and this organization are talking to lawmakers. Do you think something's going to change this session? You think so?
Yes. And you know, like I've said before, we're so good at pulling weeds and talking about everything that's wrong with education. Let's start planting some flowers about how we can change. And we have a coalition from Slidell to Cy-Fair, you know, from 150 kids to 105,000 kids that have joined our coalition. We had four more school districts join it last week that are in support of these changes collectively and together.
You have dozens of school districts across the state.
I think 45 now.
Yeah.
Has there been an attempt by lawmakers to address this in the past? Chapter 37 has grown over the last 30 years.
I think it's all been independent things. I think that they've said, this is a thing, and then, oh, we'll get behind that.
Yeah.
So now it's, we need to have a more comprehensive approach, and us being able to bring some people, everybody together and say, what's y'all's issues? Are they the same as ours? And that's where we put it all this together. And we believe that our components of this will really help teachers survive in the classroom and thrive in the classroom.
And Dr. Vinson, you're talking to lawmakers. What's the reaction to this? Do they know what's going
Positive.
On?
Positive.
Do they know what's going on, though?
No.
Really?
No, and I mean, that's the story that we have to tell. That's one of the things that I've said is, I want to talk in concert with people. I want to build bridges with these legislators and say, here's what's going on. We need your help. Hmm. I desperately need your help. And I have not met one legislator that hasn't said, from a Republican or a Democrat, that said, yeah, we need to figure out how to make this better. Hmm. And so maybe it's just the right time. I don't know. But we're still getting some positive and really full support of this stuff.
That kind of surprises me. And I was going to ask you, you know, what your thoughts were about this actually getting to the finish line and being meaningful and comprehensive and helpful for you all.
Yeah.
Because as we know, the environment for public schools
Yes.
has not looked so good going into this legislative session.
No. And that's the thing, is where do I find common ground, and what can I do to make it a fair fight, you know, for public education, to do what we're going to have to do? Because, you know, if vouchers come in, you know, you get $10,000 and you can go wherever you want to. And if a kid acts up in those schools, they're done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we get about $10,500 for every child, and we take every child.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a level, right? It's,
yeah, yeah. This is not a level playing field if you start, you know, having those two different education systems.
Yes.
Because you have to take these children no matter.
Yes.
So you're hearing, though, positive things from both
Yes.
sides of the aisle. How soon before we actually hear someone who comes out and says, here's what we want to do, these eight things, these 10 things, whatever?
In
well,
a bill.
The
In
deal
a bill.
Is that we've actually, the bills have been written, and we've actually went and are working with a couple of legislators, you know, and chairs of different committees that are that
We're remaining
influence.
Nameless for now.
Yeah.
I assume.
But
yeah.
The thing is that they're trying to get Senate Bill 2 done.
Mm-hmm.
That they
well,
they're focused. Yeah. Yes. They're trying to make sure that's done, getting all that done, and then they're going to talk about the rest of it. But what we've tried to do, again, to provide common sense solution, is give them a synopsis, how it would change, the language of that for change, and so it makes it easier for them to navigate it. And I mean, from the people that we've talked to, they've said, can you look at this and can we massage that? And we can.
Mm-hmm. I would assume as part of this, you're asking them, hey, can we increase funding as well? Because
yeah.
you all haven't seen an increase per pupil in
Yes.
years, and you're trying to do so much more with less.
Yeah, and actually this is targeted funding, because the first thing is, we need these therapeutic care for these babies that need more comprehensive support.
Which is expensive.
It's incredibly expensive. They're the hundreds of thousands of dollars per student in some mm-hmm. situations. And you do it per case, per basis, try to find out how to make it happen. The second thing is, we have 45,000 new teachers in Texas last year. We do so much with regard to pedagogy, reading and writing, and teach them how to do that. But classroom management, how do we have a plan for that? It's easily done, because we've done it through the Reading Academy. Let's just try to find a better, more comprehensive plan for this. And we think that's actually going to help.
Mm. How confident are you something's going to change? This session?
I think it's all going to change.
You think so?
I love this job. I love these kids. I love the school. I have not met any person with an ill intent that I've talked to personally, legislatively or otherwise, that doesn't want what's best for kids. And I'm not asking for the moon. I'm just asking for my teachers to be okay, and my principals to be okay, and the other babies in the classroom to be okay. And for these kids to learn how to navigate life so they'll be productive and effective citizens when they grow up. Because when we permit, we promote. And these kids need to know that behavior is a critical problem, and it's not going to help you in life.
What if it doesn't change in this session, though? It seems like some of these districts are really on the ropes right now. What if you don't get something going forward for the next 2 years?
Well, we're going to be taking money out of fund balance to do what we're going to be doing. Teachers are going to continue to get assaulted. We're going to be in a spot where we're going to have teachers that need to be trained more, and then we're going to get blamed more and provided less help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really do think that what we've provided here is that roadmap to make it happen. And it's going to be drastic if it doesn't. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that person. I don't even like going to Austin. Or I don't want to be a legislator. I just want to be here with my kids and for everything to be okay.
Well, somebody has to stand up and say this stuff, though, because public schools have really been bashed in political conversation in recent
yeah.
years. but you all are trying to make a lot of things work, and you've got a lot of headwinds.
Yeah, and you know, I want to understand why, if you're mad at us, why are you mad at us? How can we fix what we're doing? Because it doesn't make sense to me, because we do such a good job here in Wiley. Mm-hmm. And how can I make sure that everybody, every mama, every daddy, every kid, every teacher feel loved and cared for? And it starts with a level playing ground with regard to behavior. And it makes sense.
Dr. Vincent, my last thing here is that you talked earlier how this Safer Schools Act in Chapter 37, which we're talking about, has grown from 7 pages over the last 30 years to 130, 140 pages. Yeah. Make sure I understand, are you advocating to blow it up and start over, this Chapter 37?
No, I'm
add to it another 25 pages or what?
No, actually what we're trying to do is amend it to the point where it makes practical, more streamlined sense that isn't so centered on promoting these behaviors and helping to defend and give us some common ground with our parents and these kids to make them behave.
Why, I was looking through the list of districts who are part of this coalition. Why don't we see the biggies in there? Why don't we see the Houstons, the Dallases, the San Antonio? Why aren't
we reached out
that?
To them. Cy-Fair is in it. Cy-Fair is 107,000 kids. You know, we've reached out to everybody, and I wanted just to find people with common interests.
They have those common interests, though. They're going through this.
They have a lot of them, I would presume.
You know, we've approached everybody, and
you almost need as many voices as you can get, though, don't you?
Yes, and you know, I'm not going to beat everybody over the head with it.
Yeah.
But as a superintendent on my watch, if I truly care and love these babies and these teachers and these principals, I've got to do it. I mean, it's a moral obligation.
So as you seek this change, it's important to note too that these kids are smart, and even the ones who have behavioral problems are smart. If there's no consequence for my actions the first time, I know that the second time I can do it and there's not going to be consequences, the third, the fourth, the fifth.
Oh, yeah.
And not only do I know, the people around me who are seeing it know. Mm-hmm. These kids learn that there's no teeth in this.
Yes, they know. Parents know, the kids know, there is no consequence. We need some consequences.
Which breeds more behavior problems, does
it
not?
Well, then why not? Because, I mean, you're going unabated to do whatever you want to do, and we pay the price. And it's just not right.
Tough for teacher retention?
Incredibly tough. And the thing is that begging a teacher to stay, now our classrooms are safe and we do all we can, but we spend half of our time, and you know, from an administrative standpoint, handling these behaviors, doing what we're going to be doing, where I could be focusing on culinary arts. And I mean, I have the best job in the world. I got to go to a basketball game last night. I'm going to go experience 2 or 3 things today. These kids are making Valentine's treats for everybody tomorrow. Mm. I mean, this is a good place. I don't want to say it's desperate, but we need some help.
Yeah. Last thing, there are going to be people who say, okay, so you want more local control now. You want to crack down on discipline. What are we going to do? We're going to go back to this model. A lot of people feel like there was this model of school to prison pipeline. What do you say to those people who worry about, we're going to start labeling these kids early on as problem kids, and then they're straight to prison at some point?
It comes into better training for classroom management. You know, we have the 45,000 new teachers. Many of these people have never been trained, and they know how to teach math, not teach them in classroom management. So if you can take that child and you can proactively train a teacher to de-escalate these children, manage these children in a different way. And there's a lot of these things, that programs that like social emotional learning and restorative practices that people would name liberal, but I think that we could Texas style develop a system, because you know what? Here's the thing. Social emotional learning is relationship skills, it's self-awareness and social awareness. I want every Wiley kid, a graduate, to have those three skills. Why don't we put that in that way and develop common sense language? Because we're Texas, we do everything on our own. Mm-hmm. Let's make that where we're all proud to have people that have those social skills to navigate. If we can do that, maybe that will help these kids not have so many discipline referrals.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, I've heard educators who said that some of these kids are bound for prison anyway, even though we don't crack down on them in schools now, because they're not learning, and these behaviors they're taking with them out into the world.
Well, we have them just a little time, and the parents have them all the time. And what we're trying to do, well, they're here, behave and try to be the best person in the world. My PhD is in character education and social emotional development. I think it's critical here. And we teach our kids to care and give, to be respectful and responsible, to have grit. And I'm optimistic that we can do that. And then with these other kids being held accountable, if they have skin in the game, they'll act better. Mm.
Lunch service is about to start here at the 544 Cafe, so I guess we got to get out of here. Huh?
I mean, or eat.
I like the way you think.
There we go. Dr. David Benson from Wiley ISD, the superintendent here. Hey, congratulations on all the success you've had, this fantastic place here, and we'll be watching to see how this thing spins up at the legislature before school gets out.
Rock and roll.
Here in May. Thanks.
There we go. Thanks.
Thank you.
Click subscribe and get Y'all-itics every week. Y'all-itics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.